All right, episode 53, we're back, and we're back with our friend Mike.
Yep.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we've been shooting the bull around the office, chatting about TV shows and what we would like to watch and all the good stuff, right? And we are, at the time of recording this, we are, you know, more than halfway through the month of April, and we've got coming up, you know, the beginning of the next month, May the 4th.
Yeah. Right?
And we've been talking a lot about The Mandalorian here at the office. I've been watching it. Mike's been watching it. Mm-hmm. And we thought, hey, what's a great topic? Let's do a Star Wars chat. Let's do a Star Wars chat about design and Star Wars and The Mandalorian and whatever. And we basically, don't tell any of our clients this, but basically just had a 15-minute powwow the other day about Star Wars. And I was like, you know what? Damn it. That was a podcast. We should have just recorded that, you know? So, so Star Wars and design. Mike, go.
Well, I mean,
I'm putting you on the spot.
On Mandalorian, we can talk about Moff Gideon.
Yeah, I think what kind of spurred this entire thing, right, was I had made the comment about, man, we can sit here and argue and complain about The Mandalorian, this show, this and that, and this character, and blah, 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 you know, and go down in the weeds like, you know, fanboys and whatnot, right? But I was kind of like, man, what a crazy time to be alive, and never in a million years did I think we'd have a show that had, like, call it 30 Boba Fetts all running around shooting lasers, you know what I mean? And doing a bunch of stuff, right? And so the origin of this idea, I think, was, you know, Empire Strikes Back is the first time we see Boba Fett, right? The character of Boba Fett. And he just looked like a total badass, right? Yeah. I mean, it was just, he barely even said any words, you know? It's like, it's the concept of Darth Vader, the most evil, wicked villain ever, right?
Like pinnacle villain. Yeah.
Pinnacle bad guy, total badass design and everything like that. Boba Fett was hired by that guy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so he's got to be evil. He's got to be badass. And I think in those two movies, Empire and Return, man, he doesn't really speak a lot. You don't get any backstory. You don't do anything, right? However, what an awesome character, right?
Yeah.
And I think the premise of this sort of chat is, you know, design matters, right? I mean, just the visual look and feel of what Boba Fett looked like, you knew that he was awesome. You didn't have to go into the whole rigmarole, the whole backstory. I didn't need 45 minutes of preamble like we get in movies now, explaining the movie I'm about to watch.
Yeah.
You just literally look at Boba Fett and you go, dude, that guy's a total badass. He's absolutely an awesome bounty hunter. I don't, what? Where's he from? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Like, he's totally awesome, you know? So I think design, you know, matters in that respect, you know, and obviously we can tie this into advertising and graphic design and what things look like and what brands look like, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, with May the 4th, Star Wars Day coming up, you know, it's kind of an interesting chat to, you know, Star Wars design. I mean, you know, hit me. So you mentioned Moff Gideon. He's obviously a character in the new season of The Mandalorian, but thoughts on sort of Mandalorian design and just design in Star Wars. What do you think, Mike?
I think the Mandalorian stuff is like really cool. It's got its own unique look as it's kind of separated. At least the first few seasons were separated from the Star Wars universe. It was kind of like its own thing.
Yeah.
Kind of rough and gritty.
Yeah. Like a wild, it was kind of a Western show, which is kind of neat. You know what I mean? It's just kind of a bounty hunter guy traveling through the galaxy doing stuff, you know?
Yeah. So. But I like, I know you, when we talked, you said some things about Moff Gideon's design, how he has everything.
Yeah. Well, we can regurgitate that conversation.
I liked his helmet. His helmet's really cool.
Yeah.
Like the Mandalorian, but like dark side, like, and he's got like the Darth Maul, like spikes on his helmet.
Yeah. He's got a little bit, well, I couldn't really, you know, it was dark. We're in the dark cave, you know, and but he's got the cool Mandalorian helmet with some spikes and things going on it, but it's the shiny black, like a death trooper, I think, right?
Yeah,
I had made the comment that, you know, he's got some electronics on his armor, kind of like Darth Vader does. So he's got some things going on there, right? He's shiny black like a death trooper. He's got a jump pack like Mandalorian. He's also got a cape, you know, like, I mean, he's got a little bit of everything, right? It's just kind of like they threw everything at him. But I think that also feeds into the mystique of he's an evil badass.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And there are some classic tropes like Darth Vader is black, you know, he's all blacked out and he's got the cape, you know, and he's just illuminated by the red lightsaber. It's pretty badass. You know? I think, and Mike, feel free to jump in here. I feel like I'm doing all the talking, but I feel like if we're talking about design in Star Wars, the ultimate design for me has definitely been the Stormtroopers though.
Yeah.
Because I think, definitely. I mean, what a unique, weird sort of creation. And then over 30 years now, or even longer, just how they've evolved the helmet style, the paint style. I mean, obviously, we've got the complexities of their good guys, their clones, and they're not, their bad guys, Order 6. I mean, we can go down the Star Wars nerd cave here, you know. But I think, you know, the way that they were introduced to us in the late 70s, you know, we're like, whoa, what in the world is happening here, you know? And then, but then they've really evolved the design to be, you know, more militaristic in terms of like the paint schemes, the different colors for the different brigades, things like that. Yeah, so I've always, you know, in full transparency, I'm sitting here next to a stormtrooper that's in our conference room that I assembled. It took me about a year. It's one size fits Dawn, or it used to fit. I don't know. We'll see, you know. But yeah, I've always been a fan of sort of the helmets, the paint schemes, the design of Star Wars. I always thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so. I like the new take on the stormtroopers as well. Their helmets, they were kind of cool, like the line that comes like down to the mouth.
Kind Are of you thing. Talking the newest trilogy or the ones from the
newest trilogy?
Okay, yeah. The way that like episodes, what is that? 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, what are
their First Order now?
First Order troopers. Yeah, those ones. I thought it was an interesting. It wasn't too far outside of a normal stormtrooper, but it was like a nice like. More modern-y look to a stormtrooper.
So, you know, I mean, I love Star Wars, no doubt about it. Did you grow up watching Star Wars and loving Star Wars? You've seen a Star Wars. I've seen you wear a Star Wars shirt in the office. That's why I was like, hey, Mike, we're doing a podcast surprise. You know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I grew up, I think my dad showed me the original trilogy.
Nice. It's a good father right
And then, And then I watched the prequels when they came out.
Yeah.
I'm sure I liked them then.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid and it was all
Well, it's new. It's Jar-Jar-y Star Wars. And,
Star Wars.
I'm not even going to ask you how old you were when the prequel. Because I mean, I'm a full fledged. You know, I mean, I'm obviously older than you. But it's been. I mean, I had the books like The Art of Star Wars. You know, all the background stories of like ILM and how they made up little models and all stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, I loved all that stuff, man. I mean, I wanted to make little models, and I used to take model kits and then, you know, use three different model kits to make, like, my own little vehicles to, you know, not tremendous success because I was a kid, you know. It wasn't like I was a full-fledged ILM guy, you know.
Yeah.
But just the appreciation of the creativity, I guess, in the Star Wars universe is pretty incredible. You know?
Yeah. I think they've kind of taken on that ILM that I think they called them like Greeblies or something like that.
Greeblies.
The little like model like, parts that they would put, and they're like all little weird shapes and whatever. Yeah. That's what they would call like all the little parts they would put on like a Star Destroyer and stuff.
Yeah. People have gone through and identified where they found all the different pieces for all the different, which like, whoa, that's pretty impressive.
Intense.
But the creativity, I mean, if you love the movies or don't love, whatever, I think the creativity of the universe building is pretty impressive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Those styles, they're continuing to bring on, like they're even in like 3D where they're like, where you can design the whole thing. They're still taking those older aspects of like model building and putting these little things on and bringing them into like the three-dimensional designs of all these things.
Yeah. Well, practical effects, I think, still matters to actors and performances.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. I know that now they've got the, whatever Favreau invented, that weird, like 360
thing.
Do you know, how do you explain that? What is that thing?
It's like, it's almost just like a big, I think it's like almost like a big TV screen almost that's like, they've got the three-dimensional world projected that is based on the location of the camera and will change perspectives based on the camera. But I think it's like a 3D world that they're like, that they have in like, I don't know, Unreal Engine or something.
But it's still in a soundstage though.
Yeah.
And the performers are still acting in a soundstage. But I think they get the cast lighting of the environment, you know, off their helmets and off different things to help, I guess, in the final composite. So, yeah, I remember even though we're in a 3D world, you know, obviously we're in a 3D world. I mean, in a 3D world in terms of like tools and, you know, how things are rendered and whatnot now. But I love that they still sculpt and do maquettes of all the different characters to pick who, you know, I mean, they have artists that just knock out like, hey, here's 20 aliens, which is the one we want in this. You know what I mean? Like, I still, you know, that artistry, I think, is to be commended, I think. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Definitely. So. Still have all, I mean, they tried to take out like puppets in the sequel series, and then they brought them back in the most original stuff, and all in the Mandalorian. Like you have the Salacious Crumb guys, like you mentioned. They have all those little puppets in the trees.
Yeah. Well, Grogu is, I think there's two different puppets is what I've heard from.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah. There's like the close-up puppet that doesn't have legs, but it's more like emotional, more of an emotional performer. Then there's the faraway puppet that like can walk around.
Walk around and move.
Yeah. But I don't think his eye, I don't think he does as much facially, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah.
It's an interesting, again, I think if we're talking about design matters, and for those of you that have watched the first season of The Mandalorian, you know, there's not a lot of dialogue in a few of those episodes. Mm-hmm. And even when there is dialogue, it's from Jawas and different creatures that aren't necessarily speaking English, right? And then you've got a 50-year-old baby Yoda who doesn't really speak.
Yeah.
And then you have the Mandalorian who you don't see his face, right?
Yeah.
He's covered in the cool helmet, right? And so that performance, very nuanced, of like little motions and little things to really, you know, how can you get emotional when literally it's a puppet and somebody whose face is covered, right?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of ties back into the design of the helmet and the design of the character in general, right? And I think, you know, if I was to tie this into advertising and design, you know, first impressions matter, right? You know, we had done a podcast about Comic Sans, right? And it's like, hey, first impression of coffee shop, right? Okay, boom, I've got Seattle's Best, Pete's Coffee, and Starbucks, and then local Comic Sans using, you know what I mean? Right. So it's hey, don't worry about color, don't worry about like, what do you think has the best cup of coffee? And that initial presentation, I think, is going to matter, right? You're going to lean into. Yeah. You know, Starbucks is a little bit more polished, a little bit more professional. Pete's is maybe a little bit more handcrafted. It's got a little bit more of a hand-drawn logo and things like that, right? Seattle's Best maybe in the middle, or Airport Coffee, you know, that type of thing, right? But like, oh man, I'm not going to the Comic Sans guy for my cup of joe, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I kind of took us off track there for a second. But any other characters, any other Star Wars stuff that you think is just totally, totally insane and awesome?
How do you feel about... good old Darth Maul. I thought, like, I mean...
Love Darth Maul.
Yeah, being younger, I don't have as much hate for the prequel trilogy as many people do.
I don't have hate for the prequel trilogy. I will say with my first kid, we watched Star Wars in machete order, though. Are you familiar with machete order?
I'm not familiar with machete
order. Okay, you do 4-5, so you do A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Okay, just like how I grew up, right? So episode 4, episode 5. Then it's called machete order because you chop episode 1 out, right? So then you go, 4-5, then you chop episode 1, you do 2 and 3, right?
Oh.
So as kind of the flashback, right? Uh-huh. So Luke mentions the Clone Wars, that kind of stuff, right? So you do the flashback of the Clone Wars, how he becomes. So you do 4, you know, introduce the universe. Mm-hmm. 5, oh my God, Luke, I'm your father, you know, that kind of stuff. Flashback to the Clone Wars. Then jump forward and end on episode 6.
Interesting.
Right? Kind of like how we ended, right?
Yeah.
So you don't lose anything by chopping the entirety of episode 1 out. Like there's no story that continues from 1 to 2. Like, you know, Jar Jar basically becomes, he's like a senator in the background. And there's one comment, I think, from Obi-Wan that's like, oh, Jar Jar is good, blah, 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 blah. Like, but it's kind of a throwaway something. It doesn't. None of the plot or story that happens in episode 1 actually carries over into anything else, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So. I guess you do lose out on your Darth Maul.
You do lose Darth Maul.
Which is, that is a shame.
Significant disadvantage. Yeah. Fantastic character. Fantastic character. I know in the Clone Wars cartoons, they, again, expanded on his race. Forgive me, I don't remember what race of alien
it's like
he is.
Like Z something, some of the Z.
But they have different colorings. It's not, they're not all red and black. Some of them are yellow and whatnot. But phenomenal character design. I will pepper you with this tidbit too. Went down to Disney World years and years ago, and you're at the, I think it's the MGM park, whichever the movie park is, right? And they had a whole Star Wars thing going on, and my son was wearing a Darth Vader shirt, and it was hilarious. All the stormtroopers came up and would talk to him and be like, you know, thank you for supporting the First Order citizen, and he was kind of freaked out about it, whatever. But anyway, so they're going to do this weird performance or whatever, and all the characters go by, and Darth Maul, full makeup, full everything, right? I mean, looks absolutely tip-top, looks right at my son and does the like, with his teeth or whatever. Yeah. Total nightmare side night. Yeah, I mean, just like, and it was like, Dad, do you remember when Darth Maul stared at me and gave me the, like, so love the character, you know, shame that they killed him immediately, but then, but then they kind of brought him back in a weird roundabout way in the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
so. But I don't think you watched any of that, did you?
I watched a few, a little bit of it. I know that he came back with like weird spider robot legs.
Yeah,
Much later on.
Yeah, so I mean, spoiler alert, everybody, even though it's been 20 years. Yeah, they cut him in half and you think he's dead, right? But somehow magically he survives, even though his legs are missing, and then he crawls himself to safety or something like that, and then creates this... animatronic spider sort of leg bottom, I guess, you know. But I think another great instance of design matters, like we had 20 years of regular, you know, as Lucas likes to call them, laser swords. And then boom, all of a sudden you get Darth Maul and it's got the double-ended, like, oh my God, everyone went bananas, like, whoa. It's more like a staff sort of bow staff scenario than a traditional sword, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, loved it. Loved it. So.
Yeah. He's got a very, I mean, very evil look. Like right when you see him, you're like, oh, that guy's evil. He's got horns. He's red. He's got a crazy face pattern.
Well, that's a great point in that. And again, if we're talking about design matters, the bad guys look like bad guys.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know the whole backstory. You just look at him and go, ooh, that guy is evil.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell. Where to a certain extent, you could almost make the argument that the rebels are the bad guys in Star Wars the whole time. You have like, They're the guerrilla warfare against the government, right?
Yeah.
Now, the galactic government is not good. I mean, you know, they're not
they're
doing good
in
the
space Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, bad things are happening, you know. But the good guys look like good guys, and the bad guys look like bad guys. So,
yeah.
You know, Jabba the Hutt, disgusting.
Yeah.
Gross, slimy, disgusting, horrible. Blech, right. Fantastic character design.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic just design in general. You know, like. Oh, of course, that's the big slothy kind of, you know, just gross, you know, guy who has bounties on everybody, and you know, like he's kind of that rich
slaves.
It's just, he's got the pet rancor down there that eats people. I mean, it's great, you know. So, anything you hate about? I mean, it's a random peppering here, but anything Star Wars related that you think the design was inferior? Just out of curiosity.
Inferior. I mean, easy go to is always Jar Jar. Jar Jar is an easy hate.
Yeah.
Hate pinpoint.
He's, poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had mentioned, you said, hey, you watched the prequels and you didn't have the hate that a lot of people did. I think I resigned myself to the fact that like, hey, those movies aren't, they're for the next generation of Star Wars fans, right? Which is like, I've always got my Star Wars. I've always got the ones that I love. Like adding to the universe does, to me personally, doesn't take away from what I love or the things that I experienced or what I, it doesn't sour the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, they got Star Wars cartoons. I don't watch all the cartoons, but like, hey, those aren't for me. You know what I mean? There's different pockets of that, you know, pun intended, universe, right. For different entry points for different people, which I think is cool. So,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were definitely targeted towards a younger audience for sure. All of the stuff is a little bit more goofy.
Yeah.
I do see where cutting off the machete order is nice because a lot of that Jar Jar goofy kids humor stuff is in the first one.
Yeah.
It kind of lightens up on the
Pod one. Racing doesn't really do anything. Like, I mean, the most interesting part I think of number one, besides the cool battle with Darth Maul and just the introduction of that character, is you get the backstory to 3PO, you know?
Yeah.
Who, honestly, this is going to sound crazy, honestly might be my favorite character in the whole universe. Yeah. Well, he's the consistent comic relief that kind of is levity brought to all these different scenarios.
Yeah. It's also not too goofy. It's like, it's like kind of here and there, kind of like.
Well, he's got kind of, he's got like an Abbott and Costello kind of thing going with R2, you know, and he's kind of grumpy and pain in the assy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's just kind of. But he's consistent through everything. Somehow, always manages to accidentally fumble his way into some set of progress, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it's funny that how many times has his memory been wiped? You know what I mean? Like two or three times, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it, so you kind of reboot the character in a loving fashion. So I don't know. The older I get, the more I appreciate 3PO and just The comedy relief he brings to, you know, it's, I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous in general, right? And so, you know, it's a good, like, don't take yourself too seriously. So Jar Jar is kind of your anti, you know. For me, I'd say some of the ship design in the prequels didn't really do it for me. And the reason why, I think, is it kind of felt out of continuity, right?
Yeah, it definitely felt like it was like
more
futuristic than, but it was actually in the past.
Yeah, Amidala's ship of like full chrome and all, you know. So you've got 4, 5, and 6 and that, you know, those X-Wings and TIE Fighters and Y-Wings and all that good stuff. Man, we are down the nerd cave right now. I love it. but then you go back in time and everything feels more modern.
Sleek.
You know, so I don't.
Strange.
Yeah, it kind of felt a little strange to me, I guess. You know?
I can see that for sure,
But character design, man, 30, 40 years, all of those characters have hung on, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I love bringing them into the future and evolving them into seeing their home worlds and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, design matters. Creature design matters. You know, Boba Fett, absolutely just the design matters. You know, call this episode Star Wars First Impressions. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I think maybe there is something to be said for as you're working on or as we're sitting here working on consumer packaging or, you know, it's a package for a product that you get in a grocery store. Well, I mean, that first impression does matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is pretty cool. So, any other thoughts on Star Wars before we wrap this one up? I mean, I could talk for another 22 minutes about Star Wars. So.
Yeah, I could talk about many different Star Wars things. But, I guess Ralph McQuarrie's original designs, I think that's all very interesting. You're kind of seeing that come back now with The Mandalorian.
They've
included like some of his original designs for like C-3PO. I think they included that robot in there, which I think is interesting.
All I love that.
Stuff is super, super cool looking.
Yeah, yeah. The original 70s matte paintings and just McQuarrie, just design of the universe in general, right? I think it's pretty cool that they have gone back to that legacy work as the universe has expanded, right? So it was like, hey, for those that don't know, a lot of different designs for what 3PO could be, right?
Yeah.
Well, as the stories were told, you know, he's considered a protocol droid, right? Oh, well, why can't there be design? Why do they all have to look like 3PO?
Yeah.
Protocol droids can look like whatever we want protocol droids to look like, right? So I think it's super cool that they've gone back to sort of the source and the original imagination factory.
Yeah.
Right. To, you know, pull the design of other droids and other protocol droids.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
All that stuff is pretty cool, man. The practical effects, I mean, the matte paintings for the movies and stuff, so, so cool.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Beautiful stuff.
He's, yeah.
All of his, just looking back at all of his stuff, it's like interesting to see how it's come. Like there's like a sketch of, I think it was Darth Vader, and then I can't remember what they named him before he was Luke Skywalker. It was like something Starkiller or something. Yeah. And it's interesting to see like where it came from to where it is now.
The Sand People too had some significant changes if memory serves over the years, and the Banthas, you know, as it kind of transitioned to a very desert planet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the furry creatures kind of went away, right? Because it's too warm for that climate. Yeah. So, Sand People, another great design. I mean, what is that? Are they, what are they wrapped up in? You know, like what is happening there? I have no idea, you know?
Yeah. Very deserty.
Yeah.
Mysterious. They make weird sounds. They've got weird.
Yeah. Gowns. How do they, what do they speak? Like what is happening? You know? So, they've got little frogs or lizards that crawl up your nose and send you on a magical voyage.
Yeah.
So a lot of mystery with the Sand People. So anyway, Star Wars design, I think there's a lot of fertile ground for a lot of cool things, but you know, it's interesting to think about first impressions, right? And how design matters. So, all right, I think we'll wrap it up for today on that one. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us online at mocktheagency.com or on the socials, surprisingly, at mocktheagency. And we'll chat with you next time. Thanks, everybody.